God would never judge the world. He could never do what you're suggesting, preacher. That one day all will be judged. And every soul that wasn't saved, every soul that didn't find grace in God's sight, every soul that wasn't counted as righteous, He will destroy with an eternal judgment. I don't know whether those would have been the type of remarks that the people in Noah's day would have made. I do know this, that those are the same remarks that many are prone to make today. When the preacher of righteousness warns about the coming wrath of a holy God. I know that God is long-suffering as He was in Noah's day. For while the ark was preparing, Noah was that preacher of righteousness. An opportunity was given for men and women to heed the invitation in the gospel. I know that the day of God's grace is still upon us, but I also know that God has said, My spirit will not always strive with man. And if you turn to 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, we know also that God didn't spare the old world. It says, I'll read verse 4, For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved and unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Many are the skeptics of the Word of God, who do not accept that Daniel was ever in the lion's den. Many are the skeptics who do not believe that Jonah was found in the belly of the great fish. And many are the skeptics who also choose not to believe either that God was to send a great flood upon this earth. But we believe this to be the Word of God. The Word of God which is inerrant. I believe it to be accurate and infallible. And what God has said in it, He has meant to say it, and it must be true. For we remind ourselves that the God who is the author of the Scriptures is one who cannot lie. The very character of God, the very character of His being is one of truth. And when God, by the hand of Moses, penned these words which speak of the great flood upon the earth, then we believe it happened. Prior to this time, there was much sin and wickedness upon the face of the world. As the God of heaven looked down from the throne in heaven, He saw that the very thoughts of man's hearts were only evil continually. And it grieved the Lord that such wickedness prevailed. But alas, amongst the sinful people, the Lord was to find grace in the eyes of one man. And that man was Noah. His name means rest. And we know Noah was that preacher of righteousness, as we've just read in 2 Peter chapter 2. The Word says of him that he was upright. He was one who walked with God. And was such a man that God was going to use for to build the ark, which would be the means of safety from the judgment that was to come. The Lord God was going to move in judgment. His time of patience was running out, and the time was swiftly coming on when wickedness was going to be judged. But in the midst of such a destruction, it was the great plan of God to provide a refuge for all who would come into it. And thus one can picture Noah as he starts to build his great vessel. And at the same time as he preaches of the coming flood which was to come, and the people around him, they would have considered him to be mad. They had never seen a drop of water come before. Never mind a man telling them that God was going to send a flood. That day came when the ark was finished. Noah, along with his family, were called of God to go into it. I want us tonight to look at this ark and to see in it a type of God's salvation for those who are perishing under God's judgment for their sin. I have only three very, very simple thoughts. I put it to you, they're as simple that a child will understand them. I'll base as my text the words of verse 7, "And Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood." I want you to understand, firstly, there was one ark. One ark. It must be understood right at the outset. The Lord commanded Noah to build but one ark. He said, "Make thee an ark of gopher wood." There was only going to be one safe ark in the midst of the coming flood. There was only going to be one place that Noah could preach to the people about. There was only one refuge that these people could run into and be safe. There was only one place that they could be saved from the coming destruction. When those waters came, and when the waters filled the earth, and when they overflowed the tops of the highest mountains, some 20 feet and more, there was only one ark to be seen floating upon those waters. That one ark which God told Noah to build was sufficient for the needs of all who sought its safety. Oh, there are the skeptics today who scorn at this boat being large enough to contain at least two of every animal. But we know from the divine record that this ark was purpose-built. It had plenty of room to contain every animal that lived upon the face of the earth at that time. It was a boat which, according to chapter 6 of Genesis in verse 15, it was 300 cubits in length, it was 50 cubits in breadth, it was 30 cubits in height. Moreover, it was an ark which merely had not one story in it, but it was three stories high. The picture books that show some construction of an ark often do not do it justice. This was an immense vessel, and its size was capable of holding all the animals, all the foodstuffs that prolonged length of time would require, and yet there was still plenty of room within it. We know also that there were plenty of rooms within the ark. If you look at chapter 6, in the words of verse 14, it says, "Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch." There were separate places for the various animals. There were rooms, plural. Not only are we given the dimensions of the ark, but we're also told in what manner it was to be finished. God said again from the words of verse 14 that we read, "Thou shalt pitch it within and without with pitch." The covering of the pitch, which almost certainly was a tar-like substance, would have sealed that vessel and made that vessel secure against all that would come against it in the coming days. And it's interesting to note that what was to be the covering on the outside was likewise to be the covering on the inside. What God looked upon was what Noah and his family was to look upon in the inside of it. The point is not lost when we considered some time back the word that was used for pitch in that verse is used in other instances for to make atonement, to cover over. And surely the picture, surely the type of God's salvation is clear for all to be seen there. Just as there was only one ark, so there is only one way of salvation. You see, there is only one means whereby men and women and young people can be saved from the judgment of their sin. There is only one to whom we can preach about this evening. It is not the church, for the church cannot save a soul. It is not your ordinances, for they cannot make you any better. It is not some good works, for they cannot save. There is but one, and that is God's way of salvation. It is the one who made atonement for our sins so that they might be covered over in the sight of God. It is the blessed Lord Jesus Christ, for with the shedding forth of His precious blood, He made atonement on the cross. He made atonement for guilty, hell-deserving sinners. And I want to say to you tonight, if you're not saved this evening, then it will be by God's way and God's way only if you ever will be saved. And that is the way of the cross of Calvary. For the way of the cross leads home. That is where the Savior's precious blood was shed. Without the shedding of blood, there was no remission of sins. But dear listener, Christ came and he laid down his life so that all who would come to him by faith and all who would seek pardon for their sins will know that covering of the blood upon their sins. And God has said, thine iniquities and thy sins I will remember no more. He plants them even in the sea of his forgetfulness. He places them behind his back that he can never see them again. And thus what you see is no longer your sins or your iniquities, but rather you see the covering of the precious blood. It is the blood applied savingly to your heart and to your soul. And when God looks upon the repentant sinner, the forgiven sinner, he doesn't see us in all our faults and our feelings. He doesn't see our sins, but he sees us in the precious blood of Christ. And we're accepted even in the beloved. And God, when he sees the blood, he is satisfied. Like Noah, there is safety to be found in only one, and that is the ark of God's salvation. Tell me tonight, are you inside that ark? There is no in between. You're either outside the ark, or else you're inside it. You're either rejecting God's way of salvation, or else you've accepted it. You're still are outside of Christ. Then we feel like the servant who was to go forth at the king's bidding at the great marriage supper, and his cry was, yet there is room. There's room tonight for the sinner. There's room tonight if you will but come. But there's only one ark, one refuge. Let me show you secondly here, one door. One door. Can you picture in your mind's eye a great scene? This great immense ark perched upon the hillside. All things were now ready. And God instructed Noah that he should bring two of every kind into that ark so that they would live and not be destroyed from off the face of the earth. And Noah sought to do what the Lord commanded him. And he gathered up all the animals. And I believe that's a miracle in itself. And while there was the construction of that great ark, God planted an instinct in those animals to wherever they were to come to that one spot. And to be found at the time when the ark was ready to be inhabited. Those animals came. And two by two, they were to proceed into the ark. Look at the words of verse 9 of this chapter. Chapter 7 of Genesis. Then went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, and male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. There was not to be any which were left out or missed out. Chapter 6. The words of verse 19, of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind. Two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. Every living thing that God had created was to be found within that ark. There were to be the birds of the air there. There were to be the cattle of the fields there. There were to be every kind of living creature there and creeping thing which moved upon the earth. But I want you to understand something which is very important. God instructed by which way that they were to enter into that ark. He told Noah in the building of that great vessel to make provision for one door. One door in the side of the ark. Verse 16, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof. You will notice that there is but one door. And that morning when the animals were directed to enter, one could have seen a pair of eagles and a pair of doves and a pair of sparrows, but they all flew in through the one door. And one might have seen a pair of cows and a pair of goats and a pair of elephants and a pair of giraffes, but they all had to enter through that one and only door in the side of that great vessel. Look down at the ground, look down at your feet, and you would have seen a pair of worms and a pair of slow snails and a pair of tortoises, but they all had to enter the same door as the racing horses would have went in. One door. any of those animals whom God had chosen to bring into the ark had stood outside the door and said, I'm not going in that way. They would have been standing there until the flood came and they were overcome by it. Until they were destroyed. All must come by the same way. And the door through which the animals went was the door by which Noah and his family also went into the safety of the ark. And once they were entered in, they were safe. For we read that God shut them in. And God, whom God shuts in, they will never be lost. But they entered in through the one door. My dear friend, I believe the lesson is simple. It's plain, yet profound. I believe the type is clear as day. Wherever you already spoken of the fact that there is only one means whereby man can be saved. And that is God's way of salvation. But my dear soul, there's only one door by which you must come and be saved. There's only one door into heaven. For there are those who today will speak of many ways leading to the same destiny. That's something which is foreign teaching to the word of the scriptures. That is certainly not portrayed in my type tonight, in the type of the ark. The old saying is, sure, we're all worshipping the same God. Sure, we're all coming along the same road, maybe different directions, but we're getting to the same God. That's not true. For God said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. There are other gods of religion. There are other gods in this land tonight, but there's only one true and living God. There's only one door through which you must enter if you are to be saved. For there's only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. That door is Christ. And he said so himself on various occasions. In John 14 he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's exclusive. You will not come to Christ by faith. You will not come by God's way of salvation. Then I want to tell you in the authority of God's word. You will not be saved. You will not be in God's heaven. You can try your self-righteous means. You can try your churchianity. You can try your good works for something else. But you'll not be there. One door. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And he shall go in and out and find pasture. Oh, listen, it doesn't matter what your background is. You maybe are one who has walked in the clean side of the broad road, as it's often termed. You maybe have been brought up under the preaching of the gospel. You've seen it lived before you in your home. But you must come through the same door. As the one who has lived a dirty life. As a sinner who has never had the privilege of hearing the gospel message. As a good living must come the way of the tramp, the same way as the tramp must come. The good living must come the same way as the drunkard must come. Or the immoral person in the street. There's only one door. The woman at the well whom the Lord met in John 4, whom he was to reveal to her, had five husbands, and yet the man she was living with was not her husband at all. She was living in sin. She came the same way as the religious leader of the Jews by the name of Nicodemus. They both had to look to Christ by faith. They both had to come through Christ. It doesn't matter what your creed has been or what you've thought in the past. Oh, the animals were all different pairs. But as we have seen, they all had to come by the one way. There's only one door through which they had to enter. There's only one door through which you must enter if you are to have your sins forgiven. And you are to know that peace of God which passeth all understanding. And you're to have that assurance that when your life on this earth is over, then you will go to be with the Lord, which is far better. I tell you, that is what God's salvation offers through His blessed dear Son. How can I get saved, preacher? How can I be sure of heaven? That really was the question that the Philippian jailer asked Paul and Silas that night. What must I do to be saved? The answer is still the same. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. It's through Christ alone. You know, once God saves you, bless His name, you're secure. You're saved for all time. You'll never be lost. John 10, in the words of verse 28, says this. The Lord said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. That's the security of the one who the Lord has pardoned, and the one whom the Lord has forgiven, and the one who has saved. Not only are we found in Christ's hand, but Christ is in God's hand, and we're eternally secure. Once the Lord saves, He keeps us. Tell me, will you seek to enter through the door, Christ Jesus, tonight? His invitation is heard. Come unto me, all ye labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Will you come tonight and be saved? There's only one ark. There's only one door. That door is Christ. That door is by faith in the blessed Savior. Let me show you finally here. There's one fearful judgment. Can you imagine what that scene must have been like when all who were outside the ark were to look up? They were to see the dark clouds gathering. Oh, they could see the door was already shut in the ark. And they were to feel the first drops of the rain come down. What a deluge was to follow. Chapter 7, verse 11. In the 600th year of Noah's life, the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day, were all the fountains of the great deep broken up. Now, some time back, there was that tsunami in the Indian Ocean, and we were told there by the scientists that one of the earth's fountains were broken. That's why it was a great disaster. You see, all the fountains of the great deep here were broken up. Not only all the great fountains of the deep broken up, but the windows of heaven were also opened. And so there was a water come upwards and there was a water come downwards. The fountains of the earth were to break open and the floodgates of heaven were to pour forth that great flood of rain. People who mocked Noah and his family building the ark, we're now mocking them no longer. The men and women who had heard Noah preach unto them the way of salvation were no longer to hear his words preached, for now it was too late. Their worst fears were now been realized. There was a great judgment being poured out upon the earth. The judgment that Noah had warned them about. And they had no place of safety to enter into. Picture them running for it. And one feels that they might have climbed to the highest pinnacle they could find, but alas, there was no safety there. Hear them cry upon that high mountain top for help. See them climbing the tallest cedar tree in Lebanon, but still there was no safety there, for the floods were to rise above the earth, and they were rise over the earth, and every tall tree was covered, and every mountain was underneath those waters. And there was no place of safety, and there's no place of refuge for those who are outside the safety of the ark. All hope was gone. This was a fearful judgment whereby all who were not in that ark were to perish. Verse 23, and every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and the creeping things and the fowl of the heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. They had been warned of the great judgment that was to come. But they continued on, not believing it to be true. They had heard about the safety of the ark. They were invited to be entered into that ark. They had even saw others going. there was provided for them a safe place. But they had rejected that refuge, and now it was too late. What a fearful judgment. Preacher, why do you speak of this? I speak of this, dear soul, because the Lord, in speaking of the time when He has to come to this earth again, He drew His hearers back to think upon the time of Noah. And He did so because such are the similarities of it. That you find these days in Genesis chapter 7, you find them in a place in the New Testament scriptures, and you ought to take heed to them. They're found in Luke chapter 17. In the words of verse 26. And the Lord is speaking of a second coming here. And He's speaking of the order of events. You'll find it in Matthew's Gospel as well. But He says in verse 26, and as it was in the days of Noah. I believe there was a man called Noah. For not only did the Holy Ghost inspire Moses to write about him, but my Savior also speaks about him. He cannot lie. God cannot lie. Either the Holy Ghost or the blessed Son of God or God the Father. And here Christ speaks about Noah, and He says, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. There's coming a great judgment day. A fearful looking judgment. When all shall stand before the Lord, and there will be no place of safety to hide or to run to, and the kings and the great men and the lesser men, they will call upon the mountains to fall on them, for the great day of the wrath of the Lamb has come. And who shall stand? They'll look for a place of safety. But it'll be too late. Sin shall be judged, and all outside of Christ will find out then what a fearful thing it is to fall into the hands of an angry God. God provided the only means of your salvation by sending His only begotten Son, but you rejected Him. You sat in a meeting like this. You sat in Garva Free Presbyterian Church under the sound of the gospel Sunday night by Sunday night, Sunday morning by Sunday morning, and you were told of the great coming of judgment of God upon the world and upon your sin, but you rejected it. And you rejected the Christ of God, and you rejected the only Savior of a lost mankind. And now you're standing before God. There's no refuge for you. There's no safe place there. You have no advocate with the Father. Oh, what torment and what terror will come upon you when the Lord says to your soul, depart from me, for I never knew you. You'll be cast into that lake of fire, where there will be the gnashing of teeth. And the endless torture. Dying in eternal death, but never able to die. My sinner friend, that is why I preach to you this evening. That's why I warn you of the coming judgment, just as Noah warned the people in his day. So that you tonight would flee from the wrath of God that is to come. And that you tonight would flee unto Christ, who is the only safety, the only refuge for your soul. That's why I preach to you. Tell me, will you not accept God's salvation this evening? Don't leave it until it's too late. But make sure tonight that you're inside the ark, Christ Jesus. You know, the invitation is the same. It's the same as it was to Noah. For I read that invitation in chapter 7, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. And the Lord issues the invitation to your soul again this evening. And maybe there's members of your family and they're already in the ark. And the Lord says to you personally, come now. Come now. You need to get in. Come now tonight. For how shall you escape if you neglect so great salvation? May God help you to come this evening and to be saved for His glory's sake.